ministry. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Glad to have everybody in the house of the Lord tonight. You have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40. Amen. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. And we had been teaching for a while on are you spiritual? And now we're changing gears to another series. Not sure how long this will be, but we'll see how the Lord moves upon us. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 37. The Bible says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. I want to talk tonight, and maybe we'll talk a little bit on Wednesday nights, not sure how long, but building a great church. I want to build a great church. I want to build God's church. I want to help in that construction, and hopefully everybody else wants to build a great church. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm glad I'm a part of the church, and I want to build a great church. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. And so building a great church, there has to be, number one, an objective. There has to be a purpose. If you're building anything, you have to get plans. You got to get blueprints. You've got to understand what is it that I want to build. I'm just going to put up some boards and construct a one-bedroom, one-bath house, or do I want a three-bedroom, two-bath house, or whatever it is. Whatever you're putting something in motion, there's got to be a purpose. Otherwise, you're just going down the ship without any kind of rudder, without any kind of direction. It's almost like Alice, when she was in Alice in Wonderland, and she was going down a path, and she was lost, undoubtedly, and she looked at, I believe it was the cat, and she asked the cat, which road do I take? And the cat looked at her and says, well, where are you going? And she says, well, it doesn't matter. And so the cat says, well, it doesn't matter which road you take because you don't know where you want to go. And so as a church, we've got to know our purpose. We got to know why the church exists. We've got to know what we're about. We've got to know what we're to be as a church and what we are to do as a church and how are we to do it? And what makes a great church? The only way you can have a great church is you got to ask the question, what makes a great church? Look to your neighbor and ask him that. Say, what makes a great church? I don't know about you tonight, but I love our singing. I love our worship. I love our leadership of this church. I love the people around here. I love every one of you. So if you never have heard Pastor tell you directly, I'm telling you directly that I love you, every one of you. Well, Pastor never calls me by name. Pastor never says, I'm telling you, I love you. Okay, I love everything about you. I love our music. I love our leadership. I love being a part of Abundant Life Center. And that's how everybody should feel here at this place. It's not just something that we do on Wednesdays or Sundays or just a place because we have nothing better to do, but everybody should have that burning desire deep down inside their soul like David did when David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There should be joy that resonates inside of you. There should be happiness that says, you know what? It's Wednesday night. I'm going to church. It's Friday night, I'm going to youth. It's Sunday, you know, it's talking about church and the things of God. You got to be happy about here, and I'm glad that I'm here, and I'm glad that you're here. But there's more importantly, we've got to also ask, why do we come here? Why do we why do we attend this assembly? What's so special about Abundant Life Center? What makes the difference? What makes ALC great? Paul made this statement in 1 Corinthians 1:10. He said this, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all ye speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And so I submit to you tonight that if we're going to become a great church, we must not and we cannot be divided. That there be no divisions, that Paul said that we speak the same thing and that we are joined together. If we're going to be a great church, we must come together. We must be one. We must have one mind, one vision, one purpose, and one goal. We must speak the same thing, that there be no divisions. We must be joined together. Somebody shout together. We must be united. United we stand. Someone said, united we stand, divided we fall. We as a church, Abundant Life Center, we've got to be united in purpose. We've got to be united in vision. We've got to be united together, accomplishing the Great Commission, God's Great Commission. Anybody know what God's Great Commission is? There you go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Can I tell you, there is only one word, there is only one way, and there's only one God, and Jesus is his name. And it's our job to go out to the highways and the byways and compel them to come in, and we've got to declare the gospel. The gospel is the good news. We live in a world that's full of bad news. You get on social media, you listen to the radio, and everything you hear, and you open up a newspaper, and our world loves tragedy. It loves scandals. It loves, crucifying people. I mean, just a few weeks ago, it was just the Kavanaugh thing, and everybody was saying, he's guilty, he's guilty. And yet there was no proof. And I'm not here to say he was innocent or guilty. I'm just saying that we live in a world and a society that I think we're innocent until proven guilty. But when somebody hears muck and mud and junk on somebody, they're just saying, well, I heard it, it's got to be true. And so we are captivated, and somehow we just are mesmerized bad truth and bad news. I don't want to be surrounded by bad news. I don't want to be surrounded by people that are always talking bad and have a pity party. And I want to be around somebody that's positive. Someone that believes we can have revival. Somebody that loves church. Somebody that loves the house of God. Somebody that loves the kingdom. I want to hear the good news. And the only way we get the good news, it's the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I guarantee you, there are people that you work with, people that you go to school with, people that your neighbors next door, that they would love to hear the gospel. Not you being mean or judgmental. I know in the South they had signs, and those signs were, if you don't turn, you're going to burn. Right? I mean, the message was true, but the way they said it, it just wasn't in love. And the Lord says everything we've got to do, we've got to do it in love. We could say the right thing at the wrong time, and it'll equal disaster. You could say the right thing at the right time with the wrong spirit, and it'll equal disaster. But if you'll learn to, at the right time, speak the right word and have the right spirit, I believe it'll equal great results. And for us, if we're really going to be the church and we're going to build a great church, we can't build a great church being judgmental. A lot of people like to be judgmental, because it takes judging off yourself. But I'm going to tell you, we don't win people by being judgmental. We win them by love. We've got to love one another. And if we as a church are going to understand this, we've got to understand that there is only one way, and Jesus is the way, and we know that God is love. And if the only way that we're going to win this world is we've got to show forth love. Amen, somebody. Proverbs 19:21 says this, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. God's word will always stand. Can I also say God's word is always right? Your words are not always right. Your opinions are not always right. But God's word is always right. That's why we can't really help people by really what we think and what we, you know, our opinions or our own beliefs. The only way we win people is by the word of God. Is because sometimes your opinions will change. You say, well, my opinions never change. Really? So if you go to a restaurant and you ordered this filet mignon and it came out and it was cooked just the way you liked it, and you needed just a butter knife and it just kind of let that meat come open and you just took a bite of it and it just melted in your mouth, and you'd say, wow, that's the best steak I had. This is the best restaurant ever. But then you go the very next day and they burn the steak and you can't even cut it with a chainsaw. And you're like, ugh, this restaurant's terrible. Well, no, it's your experience. Opinions change. You may have a good day and have a good outlook on life one day, but the next day you may have a bad day and you haven't had your coffee yet, and your opinions may not be that good that day. So if you follow your own opinions, it's going to lead you astray. But if you'll follow after the Lord, I believe the Bible says somewhere that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God that I serve never has a bad day. Never needs to take a coffee break. Never falls asleep. Nothing ever surprises Him. He always loves. Even when you do wrong and make bad decisions, He loves you. And that's His way. And the only way we're going to win this world, the only way we're going to build a great church, is we got to do it God's way. His way is always right. Amen. So if we want to be a great church, we must first do what Matthew instructs us all to do. That's Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. Can I tell you what the job of a Abundant Life Center is? Can I tell you what the purpose is? It's not hard. It's not impossible. All we have to do is right there in Matthew 22. All we have to do is to love God with all our hearts, and with all our souls, and with all our minds. Your number one goal in life is not to make $1 million, not to have your name go down in lights where everybody remembers your name and remember all the great things about you. It's not to leave a great big 401k retirement plan or a life insurance policy for somebody, but your greatest plan, your greatest purpose is to love Him, love His ways, love His purpose, love His plan. Fall in love with God all over again. The song we used to sing, fall in love with Him over and over again, over and over. When you fall in love with God, you know what happens? You start talking about Him. When you're around somebody long enough, you'll very quickly know what they love. Some of them just love their looks. They look in the mirror, man, they stay there. And then when you're around them and they're driving, they're always looking in the mirror. And you know, they're like the fawns, you know, they walk with, hey. You know, how do my shoes look? How do these clothes look? People know, they just, okay, you love yourself, right? Now there is a turn side of that. You really do have to love yourself. But you don't have to love yourself. Okay? Loving yourself means you think you're all that in a bag of chips. That's not love. Loving yourself is being okay with your faults and your blemishes and your insecurities and your weaknesses, and understanding your worth and your value lies in Him. And I may not be perfect, but I'm forgiven, and He loves me. I'm talking about loving yourself the way God loves you, because if you can love yourself, you can love God and you can love others. But now if you love yourself, you don't really love God, because you're saying, God, I can do this myself. Hey, I got the job by my looks. I got the job by my personality. I got the job by my strength. And God's saying, really? You ain't going to do my kingdom if you think it's about you. Because it doesn't start with you. We can't love us. We've got to love Him. We've got to put God number one. We've got to put Him in the equation of our lives. And we can't just live for God on Wednesdays. And we can't just live for God on Sundays. It's got to become a lifestyle. God's got to become a lifestyle. You got to be able. Bible even talks about it. If you're not ashamed of God, He won't be ashamed of you. That's why Paul stood up in this untoward generation and he declared this to everybody. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. We need to be proud that we are a Christian. Proud that we live for God. Proud that we go to church. Proud that God loved us. Proud that God healed us. Proud that God saved us. Where are you going? I'm going to church tonight. God forgave me back in the day, and I'm still in love with Him because He's still. When you start falling in love with God, you start talking about God. That's what God wants you to do. Love Him with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. If you love God, everything in this world changes. Because now we're not after the almighty dollar. We're after the almighty God. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people say, well, man, if I just get to Friday, if I can just get to, you know, my paycheck, if I can just get some OT, I can get a new car, I can get some new clothes, I can go to Hawaii. And we're looking at this, and God's saying, well, hello, what about me? You spend more time on all the other things, but you don't spend time with me. And God says, I'm hungering for somebody that will just love me, that will just bask in my presence, that won't just wait to leave, but someone that says, you know what, I'm going to take a time out. I'd love to hang with you tonight, but I've got a bigger appointment tonight. I'm going to hang out with God. I remember in Bible college, Bible college is not for everybody, but Bible college was for me. It made a foundation in me. There were kids, and there's still to this day there are kids that go to Bible college, and they just think it's a senior camp every day. It's a party every day. Where are we going out to eat? What are we going to do? And they stay. And it's a great environment, don't get me wrong. But it's just fun. But I realized that I was there to get a relationship with Him. And there were times I said, hey, I'm not going to go with y'all tonight. Y'all go have fun. And I didn't tell them where I went. But I remember I'd go up into the balcony. I'd get under a pew. And I'd stay there for hours. It was just me and God. It's just basking. And that's what God wants for every one of you. I'm not talking about, punching a time clock and say, okay, God, gave you 15 minutes today. Gave you 30 minutes today. Gave you two. No, it's just spending time with God. It's just taking a time out from the throes of life and saying, God, I just won't talk to you today. I'm going to unplug from everything. I'm going to turn my phone off. I'm going to turn the radio off. And I just want to talk with you. I do that many times. I'm driving down the road and I just have tears that flood my face. And I just have some God moments. Because we can't just do this thing here in this church. We've got to do it out there. It's got to become a lifestyle. And we love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. God begins to fight for us. Every fiber in our being, with all our heart, strength, and mind, we put on the mind of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, when you spend time with God, then the kingdom starts to matter more. And your kingdom doesn't. That's when you begin to pray, not my kingdom, but thy kingdom. Not my will, but thy will be done. Our number one priority, and it's the number why we exist and why we were created, it's really just to spend time with Him and to worship Him and to glorify Him. We were created to praise Him. You realize that? We don't just praise Him on Sunday when the drums are hitting and the choir's singing and the place is rocking. And we have the best of the best music around. But the problem is we can take that for granted. And the only time we worship and praise is when they're hitting the beats. But there's got to be a time that says, you know what? I'm going to worship God and I'm going to praise God without a drummer, without musicians, without anybody else. I'm just going to praise God. That's why I was created. And here's how important praise is. God says, if you don't praise Him, there are rocks and stones that will praise Him. A lifeless form. God said, I'm going to abide and dwell when you praise me. I'm going to bless you when you praise me. Understand that. But if you don't want blessings and you don't want my touch and you don't want my favor, that's okay. I'll give it to a rock. But I don't want a rock taking my space. I don't want a rock robbing me of my blessing. I don't care if it's my favorite preacher or a preacher that preaches too long and dry and boring. I just want to praise God. I just want to get my praise on. I just want to get into His presence. Why? Because I love Him. It's not because I have to. It's not because I'm forced to. It's not because there's a gun to my head. But I choose to worship and praise Him because I love Him. If you love Him, you'll spend time with Him. Almost like that old song way back in the day, I choose to be a Christian. I choose to be like Him. Nobody's making me do it. This is how I want to live. You decide for you and I'll decide for me. The choice is mine, but this is what I choose to be. I choose to be a Christian. I choose to be Christ-like. I choose to dwell with Him because I really want Him to dwell with me. You know a crazy scripture in the Bible? There's a lot of scriptures that just blow your mind. But Revelations, when he says, behold, I stand at the door and I do what? I knock. And he said, if any man hears my voice and opens the door, what did he say? What did he promise? I will come in and I will sup with him. Let me ask you this question. What you going to cook Jesus? Taquitos. What you going to make him that he'll just say, wow, this is incredible? Number one, you can't prepare anything that's greater than what he can give you. There is nothing that you can really give that he doesn't already have. But can I tell you, when my kids would make me something for birthdays or Christmases or whatever, do something nice for me, and maybe even make me food. It may not be the best food, but when I start eating it and partaking it, I'm like, they made this for me. And how wonderful it is for me. I remember a time, it was a date night, me and my wife had. And so instead of going out, Tristan, it was our anniversary, Tristan in Brooklyn, had set a table and put candles there. And that was a time when Brooklyn was playing the saxophone. And I don't even know what the food was. But we sat there and they served us. And Brooklyn was playing her music. And Tristan was giving us sweet tea. And it was incredible. And I loved it because my kids prepared a meal for me. And God is saying, I'll take those taquitos. You know what I'm saying? I'll take whatever you make. The best, I'll take that salad, Sister Miller, that you make. I'll take that spread. I'll take that chicken that you made, Sister Helga, that one time with tomatoes on there, and it was baked, and oh, it was good. And I know Jesus, he'll come there and say, this is great. Thank you. But he says, I'll come in and sup with you. But after I'm done, you'll come and you'll sup with me. You give the best that you can, and God's going to say, now watch this. I'm going to bless you. We don't do this because of what we get. But when we realize whose we are, when we realize that we really do have royal blood flowing through our veins, we really realize that we're a king's kid, we're royalty, and God takes care of king's kids. Didn't he say, hello, there are many mansions in heaven? If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. God is going. He's preparing a place for you. You're already preparing a place for him, but he's preparing a mansion for you. He created all this world and all the beauty in 6 days. He's been gone longer than 6 days. And if he created all this in 6 days, what do you think my mansion's going to look like? I know you have struggles. I know you have pain. I know you have obstacles in life. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day. Well, there'll be no more death. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. There's coming a day that I'm going to stand hand in hand with the one I've heard preached about for so long, heard sung about for so long. I'm going to be hand in hand with the Master. Why? Because I love him. But not only do I love him, but he loves me. And he wants to bless me. The greatest thing you could ever do is make up your mind. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to put the things of God first. I'm going to make them a priority. Everything around my life will center around that fact that I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my mind, and with all my soul. That's all we have to do. That's pretty easy, isn't it? It's to love God. When you start loving God, everything gets better. But the moment you stop, it's like Peter, right? When Peter saw the Lord, everybody else, experienced fishermen, experienced men that were on, no doubt, storms of the seas before, and yet this time, everybody was just, they were losing it. They thought they were going to die. They were grabbing pails and getting water and throwing it over the board, trying to make it where the ship wouldn't sink. And yet Peter looks and says, Lord, if it be thou you, walking on the thing that I'm so fearful, if it be you that's walking on the thing that's given me fear and anxiety and stress and worry, if it be thou you, bid me to come. And what the Lord say? Come. Peter wasn't anything great. He's a guy that spoke his mind. He had a lot of mistakes, but God says, hey, Peter, you want to come? Come. He said in his word, if you'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. And so Peter got out of the boat and he started walking on what? Right. But really he started walking on fear. And he started to walk on worry. And he started to walk on doubt and confusion. Starting to walk on things he could not see. Things that were trying to take him out. Things that were trying to destroy him. He got his eyes off the trouble, off the storm, off the dilemma, and he got his eyes on him. And he says, I'm following him. I love him with all my heart, with all my mind, and with all my soul. And because of that, he started to walk on the things that were trying to hold him captive. And the moment he got his eyes off him and got his eyes on the water, what happened? Started to sink. And we all, well, Peter failed. Peter, you know, he was drowning. We always want to pinpoint that fact that Peter went down. But Peter walked on water. What'd you do? You stayed in the boat. And God is saying, I want to give you so much. I want to bless you with so much. But the only way I can is you've got to allow me to. You've got to open up your door. And you got to say, you know what? It's more than Wednesday. It's more than Sunday. It's going to be a lifestyle. I'm in love with Him. And when you get in love with Him, then you go outside of the walls of this church and you go into a society that has no idea what this is all about. And they say, what's different about you? There's something going on with you. Bible said that there were men that took notice that these men had been with Jesus. The only way that we can have a dynamic supernatural experience is we've got to fall in love with God. And when we do, all the blessing starts happening in our lives. So Peter falls, and that could have been the rest of the story. But thank God for a God that reached down and grabbed his hand and picked him back up. Isn't there a scripture in the Bible that says something like, rejoice not against me, O my enemies, for when I fall, mark it down, you're going to fall. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to say something. You're going to do something that you wish to God you never did. You're going to fall. But failure is not falling down. Failure is staying down. And you got to make up your mind. I know I messed up. I know I said that. I know I went there. I know I was involved in that. And I know I should not be here. And I shouldn't feel the glory of God. And I shouldn't feel His presence. But you know what? I'm not going to stay down there. I'm going to rise up and realize there's a God that loves me. There's a God that can give me mercy. There's a God that can give me forgiveness. There's a God that can turn my life around. That's why I love Him. That's why I come on Wednesdays and Sundays. And anytime the doors of the church is open, I just want to worship Him and let Him know that I love Him. Because when you love Him, everything changes. That's what's about Abundant Life Center. This is our God that dwells here. Love dwells here. The reason why I come to Abundant Life Center is because I feel His love. There doesn't even have to be nobody. Many times I get here and nobody's even here early in the mornings, and I get here and I walk up and down the. I love doing that. Walking up and down the aisles of this church and going through pews and praying for you. But before I even do all that, when I walk in, I feel His love. There is nothing like the love of God. There is nothing like His touch. There is nothing like His presence. And I challenge you, if you haven't done it, or if you've been in a rut, the best ways to get out of ruts, has anybody ever gotten a rut before? Amen. When you get in that rut, you're just like, I'm praying, but just like it's hitting a wall. It's just like I look and everybody else is getting blessings, everybody else is getting healed, everybody, and poor old me, I'm not. And we get so just down because we're just in a rut. But the problem is we haven't been praying, and we haven't been reading the Word, and we haven't been pushing the plate away. The best way to get away from your ruts is to say, flesh, you ain't controlling me no more. Flesh, I know you want to go to In-N-Out. Flesh, I know you want some pizza. Flesh, I know you want some cinnamon rolls. But flesh, not today. We're going to spend some time with the Lord. And I'm going to push the plate away. And I'm going to spend some time in prayer. And I'm going to spend some time in the Word. Because He said in His Word, howbeit these things come but by prayer and fasting. If we'll get back to the very beginning, and that is to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. God says, I'll abide there. That's what I want tonight. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I've got so much more, but we'll do that on another Wednesday night. But I'm going to tell you, if you hear anything tonight, understand this, that God loves you. Would you say that with me? God loves me. Now I want you to shout it like you believe it. God loves me. How many perfect people are in this building? Perfect, huh? With Jesus, you're perfect. We're striving for perfection. I like that. It's what Papa says. In my flesh dwells no good thing, but with God, all things are possible. And I'm striving to perfection. But I realize there are times that I don't do the right things and say the right things and go the right places. But there's a God that's not sitting up in heaven with a big old club getting ready to club me over the head. There's a God that's arms outstretched that says, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you comfort. I'll give you hope. I'll give you what the world can't give. And the world can't take away. There's a devil that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, but I'm not about that. He says, I've come so I might have life and have life more abundantly. And the way it all happens, it's all laid out for you. He's done it all. He's paid the price. He shed his blood. He took the stripes upon his back. And the Bible says, by his stripes are we healed. Are we healed? Already happened. Everything you need, done. He's taken the keys from death, hell, and the grave. So the only thing that we've got to do now is to love on Daddy, because he has it all. And if you want Daddy to bless you, and you got to bless Daddy, you got to make up your mind. You know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
We're going to give God everything. We're going to give God in our conversations. We're going to treat people nice. We're going to love on everybody. We're going to react in a different way because we're God's kids. If you go to a restaurant and your steak's burnt and all of that, still got to love. You don't know what they've gone through. You don't know what they've been involved in. But when was the last time you doubled your tip when you got lousy service? Why don't you try it? Because next time you come in, they're going to say, I remember that guy. He gave me a tip. I'm going to give him better service. You start loving God and loving his kingdom, it'll show. And the blessings of heaven will flow in your life. How to build a great church? It starts with loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. I think it'd be fitting tonight. I know it's Wednesday night. But for all of us, just align this front with hands raised and voices raised. Not because pastor's asking you to. Not because I'm requesting this of you. But because something down on the inside of your soul says, you know what, God? You've been good to me. You've been great to me. You made a way where there seemed to be no way. And on this Wednesday night, God, in Tulare, California, at Abundant Life Center, I want you to know tonight, God, that I love you. Yes. Throw my heart, God. Yes. Throw my soul, God, with all my mind, with all my strength. I love you, God.
You are.
Thank you for loving me. Thank you for never giving up on me. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you for a second chance. Jesus, I love you today. I hear you at the door. I'm opening the door of my heart, God. I want you to walk in. I want you to come in, God. I'm going to prepare a table in front of you. I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to give you worship. I'm going to love on you. Come on, somebody love him tonight. Somebody reach out to him tonight. I love you. I love you.
You are my everything. You are the love of my life.
Oh, I love you, Jesus. You didn't have to do it, God, but you did. You didn't have to love me, but you did. You didn't have to give me mercy, but you did. You didn't have to give me grace, but you did. I love you today. I love you today. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for restoring my family, my home. I want to love you, God. Throw my heart, mind, and soul. Oh, I love you. Oh, sing it to the Lord.
You are my everything. You are the love of my life. You are the hope that I cling to.
As you mean. To build a great church starts with the number one foundation, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. When you start loving God, things become easier in your life. I challenge you, fall in love with God all over again. You say, Pastor, how can I do that? Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Word. Listen to godly music. Listen to preaching. Do what you can. Surround yourself with godly influences And that makes God happy. Amen. Love every one of you. Find two or three people and look at them in the eye and say, I'm going to help build a great church. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.